Turn to the book of Turn to the book of James. Yeah, what is it?
You should say
dancers who dance. Okay. Okay. I actually, Lynn, turn me down a little bit. I think I actually texted you last night, and I said, is that a typo or not? And since I got no replies, I was yesser all the way, you know? Actually, I might rewrite that line, so we'll see how it goes. Do you know what? Sometimes you don't listen to this, okay? Don't listen, but I'm going to say it. Just don't listen. My pastor one time said to me, Steve, sometimes it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Sometimes it's better just to sing and then figure it out later, I guess. I don't know. But I appreciate that. So James chapter 4, and let's get into something more serious tonight. When I was a kid growing up, I would hear a song occasionally on the radio. I don't listen to it anymore. But years ago, I did. And some of you old-time people, that's like me and Alan, and maybe Renee, not too sure, but certainly Alan and I, there was a song called War. Remember it. And the lyrics said something to the effect of, war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. I despise war because it means destruction of innocent lives. War means tears to thousands of mothers when their sons go to fight and lose their lives. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a war that is as destructive as what they were singing about. I'm imagining, Alan, they were probably singing about the Vietnam War, because that's probably in the era that that song was written. And I want you to know tonight that the Bible talks about a war in the book of James chapter 4, that everyone in this room can at some time be involved in. And just like those lyrics said, war is very destructive. War never ends in a good outcome, even when it's over. The peace and the armistice, if it brings that, that's good. But the destruction that it has left behind. Do you know they say, and I could be wrong, so if you know better, you let me know. But they say after World War I that it left 25 million people dead. World War I. In just a short period of time, not even a day, on the 6th of June, 1944, when the Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, over 6,000 casualties in that one day. Has anyone ever heard of a little bitty island called Iwo Jima? Anybody hear of Iwo Jima? Iwo Jima is an island in the Pacific Ocean that's about 600 miles away from Japan. The Allied forces in World War II determined that in order to bomb Japan, we would need an air base for refueling. That air base was the island of Iwo Jima. Our wonderful war planners determined that there's only a few thousand Japanese soldiers on that island. And within a couple of days, we will secure that island and we'll be able to take off and land our bombers. I don't exactly know if it was 42 or 46, but it took somewhere between 42 and 46 days for the Marine Corps and the Navy to push out 22,000 Japanese soldiers from that island. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Marines died to secure that beach for that airstrip. The outcome of the war, we gained peace, didn't we? But wherever there is a war, there is destruction. Wherever there is a war, lives are lost. Wherever there is a war, innocent people are destroyed. Would we agree with that? What is war good for? Absolutely nothing. Tonight I want to talk to you about a war that we cannot have as Christians. We cannot have within the church, but there is so much of it today. Amen. Let's look at James chapter 4. We'll read the first 10 verses. James starts off right there. Where do wars and fightings among you come from? He says, where do these wars and these factions among you brethren, where do they emanate from? He's meaning. Don't they come from your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and don't have, you kill, covet, and can't obtain. You fight and make war. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it for your pleasures, going back to that lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world it is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who lives in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God resists the proud. Y'all ought to circle that in your Bible or underline it, or if you have an iPad or an iPhone, you ought to hit that highlight function. Because right there is a key to the wars that we have as people, as individuals. It's pride. And that pride is something that God resists. He does not like it. And what is the big key for us to stumble? What is the one thing that will certainly, without a doubt, cause a Christian to stumble and fall? Pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be subject, therefore, to God, but resist the devil. Now, folks, just don't give in. You must resist. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Chapter 4 begins with these very somber words. From where come wars and fightings among you? From whence come these wars and fightings among you? Do they not come because of our lusts that war in our members? Let's pray. And we'll talk about what brings war and really, I guess, some of the things that we as Christians, God's people, end up fighting over, which we ought not to. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, I pray that as we look at your word, as we study the Bible, as we look at these words that were penned so many thousands of years ago, God, I pray that you would open the truth up to us. I pray that we tonight would just say, no matter where I'm at, if I'm the wrong or if I've been wronged, Lord, I open my heart, my mind to your truth, to the Holy Spirit, to his teachings, to his leading, to his guidance in my life. And Lord, I don't want to be in conflict with anybody. And Father, I pray tonight that as we look at this, that we would just be willing to repent, to confess, to seek forgiveness, whatever it is. And Lord, if we're not the one that needs that, Lord, I pray tonight we would determine not to be bitter against others. So Lord, help us tonight. Help us to understand so as not to have war within us. In Christ's name, amen. Like I said, chapter 4 begins with verse 1. Where do wars and fightings among you come from? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? That word war, you ought to circle it. That word war means conflict. And what who is James talking to? Saved or non-saved? Talking to saved people. So he's really talking to the church. He's saying, hey, church, these conflicts that you have, where are they coming from? And he gives us the answer right there. They come even of your lusts that war in your members. If you look in the Bible, there's a lot of war. And I'm not talking about when Israel went into the promised land or when they were fighting this ite and that ite. There's a lot of war of lust, caused by lust, pride, jealousy, envy. Think about Lot. Lot, what did he do? He caused a quarrel with his uncle Abraham and his servants. He was getting a lot of stuff, and Abraham was getting a lot of stuff. And Lot, we know, prideful, probably arrogant. His desire, his lust, caused him to have conflict with the workers of Abraham's company, unit, industry. You know, his servants there, right? They fought together. Why? Because Lot had so much, and he wanted more. And Abraham said, you know what? It's best that we kind of separate here. You look out among you, and you go wherever you want. Now, Abraham said, you make the choice. And Lot chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Why? It was beautiful. It had everything. And his lust, his desire to fulfill his pleasure drew him over in that direction. Do you see? That's exactly what this verse said. That lust, that desire to fulfill your pleasure, caused him to have conflict with Abraham. We also see it in a king's family. Remember Absalom? Absalom was a very prideful person. Absalom wanted the kingdom. He caused conflict for his father David. You find that in 2 Samuel. You remember when the disciples were with the Lord? What did they argue over? Do you remember? What caused great conflict within the ranks of the apostles there with the Lord? Yeah. Who's going to sit on his right hand and who's going to be the greatest? What was it? Pride. What was it? It's lust. Fulfilling the desires of their pleasure. Now, Lot, we know he was a righteous man before God, but he was vexed with this world, right? So in our terminology, we would call him a believer. Absalom, I don't think so. The disciples, certainly they were, minus one. Paul dealt with a lot of arguing factions within the church. Did you realize that? You know what? I was a little bit naive when I got on staff at our church. Pastor took me aside, and he put his arm around my shoulder, and he told me two bits of advice. I had just gotten out of the Army, okay? I probably still had my Army haircut and probably still walked and talked Army style. And he put his arm around me and he said, Steve, this is a volunteer army. I looked at him and I said, probably I said something like, Roger that. You know, I got it. He said, no, it's a volunteer army. So you cannot treat them like your little privates that you had in the military. And I said, all right, sir, I got it. I said I got it. I didn't quite get it. I had to learn it. Then the second thing he said to me was this. He said, Steve, the people in this place that you call brother and sister, they will hurt you worse than anybody that's outside this place. And do you know what I found? That's true. Do you know why, at least in my case, the way I understand it, is with each other, you know what we do? We take off our armor. And we tend to open our heart. And when Satan comes around and he causes some bitterness in somebody, he causes a faction in somebody, what happens? You've opened your heart. They know things about you that most others don't because you share. And if Satan gets in that, they can use that against you. Also, what happens is you don't expect it among the brethren, do you? You know? Unfortunately, you know what I do now? I do expect it among the brethren. Because why? Because Satan uses that as a tool to try to destroy the church, to try to destroy your testimony. You know, he's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he can destroy, who he may devour. And he knows what's going on. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? There's no new process that he goes through. There's no new campaign that he's going off and on the offensive with. What he's been using for thousands of years has worked, and he continues to work that thing. And what I want to warn you about tonight is, Christian, we cannot have wars in our midst. We can't fight amongst each other. Do you know the greatest army in the world is the Christian army? But do you know what the Christian army is absolutely known for? Shooting their wounded. We shoot our wounded. We don't mend them. We don't help them. We shoot them. And a lot of times, Christians, we go at each other. And I don't know of any of that going on in our church. I don't know of anything. I think there's peace here. But this is the message that the Lord's laid on my heart to bring. So I want us to look at these things. You know, my study Bible, I have King James Study Bible, absolutely awesome Bible. If you don't have one, if you don't have a Bible that you're using personally, let me know and we'll show you where to get this one. This is a fantastic Bible. It has great notes. It's a little bit big, you ladies have told me. Yeah, because it takes about, you know, weightlifter to bring it to church, but it's a good Bible. And there's something in my notes I think is fantastic. James is talking about having conflict within the church, within the Christian community. He says this conflict, this strife, is so common among believers, but it stems from their unsatisfied, selfish desires. Instead of wrestling with God in prayer, these believers are striving with one another. And you get that from verses 1 through 3. Do you know what the great remedy of conflict among believers is? What is it? There will come a time when Satan will pose you with a war. We're going to look at some of the things that the war is about. But there's going to come a time when Satan's going to try to get you to war with another brethren. Okay? When you war with another brethren in the church, you create disunity. And disunity stops the program of the church. A church that's not unified cannot go forward in the work of God, can they? No. So Satan tries to do this thing. So we need to be aware, and we need to make sure we do not get in conflict. And the number one thing is, man, you ought to be praying for each other. It's really hard to dislike Renee because I pray for him. You know? It's hard for him to have anything against me because he prays for me. And if we end up having aught against a brother, if they've done something wrong to us and we hurt over it, you cannot give in to that feeling of bitter or envy or jealous or anger or hatred. What we must do is pray. Because when we pray earnestly, man, God just works in that thing. Have you ever been hurt? All of us have. Number one thing we ought to be doing is praying. But James talks to us about some of the things where conflict comes in within Christians, within the church. And I want to share some things with you. Take and turn to chapter 2. One of the things people fight over is Christians, you know, can't have unity about, get upset against one another how do I put it? Money, class, rich, poor kind of thing. You know, look what James says. My brethren, have not, in chapter 2, verse 1, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there comes... I can't read it. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You know what? One of the major things that the church gets upset and fights over, it's the fact of helping poor people and helping the ones that do not have stuff. And what James is talking about, when someone comes into your church dressed in a fine suit and all the nice attire, and you run up to him and you give him a visitor's card and you say, hey, look, here's a seat for you, and you know, sit up front so you can hear everything and take this position, and yet someone who has nothing comes in and you say, oh, whoa, could you just kind of sit in the back? Now, we might not necessarily do that openly, but we might do that in our heart. And if we do that in our heart, it's just the same nearly as doing it openly. And here's the point. Church, we need to love the people who smell and have odor and who have live on the street as much as we love those who have wealth and cars and clothing and everything else. One of the major problems of conflict in the church is this socioeconomic issue of the rich and the poor. You know, why don't churches have more of a mixture of the down and outers and the up and outers? Because we work harder to keep the up and outers, and we don't work at keeping or getting the down and outers. Amen? What are we doing to get the down and outers? We have facility, we have finance, we have people, and what are we doing to seek those who have nothing? When, you know, Luke 12:48, the Lord's really speaking to me about that. To them who's been given much, those who have that much, much is required. One of the issues in the, I think it was the Corinthian church. One of the issues was is they were fighting in their meetings. Sometimes our business meetings here get quite intense, don't they? And usually what are we fighting over? A few pee here and a few pee there. We ought not to be like that. James is pretty clear. You know what? You ought not to fight over those kinds of things. Some of the other things that conflict rises up in the church, we spoke about it before and we've read it in the scripture here, is pride. Look at 119. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying, it's lust, it's that pride. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, not without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let me read you something. Warren Wiersbe says this: this scripture that I just read, each person thought that his ideas were the only right ideas and his ways were the only right ways. Selfish ambition ruled their meetings, not spiritual submission. You know what happens? People want their way and only that way. Christian, look at me. Look at me. What is the one thing that we should be doing? We should be taking up a cross and following Christ. That means leaving our desires behind, doesn't it? It means leaving our ways behind. It's sometimes, you know, it's the thing that makes a homework sometimes that we're working on with our kids. You know? Hey, look, sometimes I'm making noise, and I think it's my beard, isn't it? Yeah. You know what resolves conflict? Humility, not pride. You and I don't have to be right. Even if we're right, we don't have to be right. People fight because they're right. Sometimes what we need to say is, you know what? It's not worth it. I love you more than I need to have my way. Sorry? Yeah, Lisa said, that's marriage. You know? And it is, and that's the way it should be in the church. Do you know what we should be doing in the church? Not, this thing's driving me crazy. I'm sorry, I can't wear it. Okay. I'm sorry. It's my ADD. Okay, there we go. Where was I? Oh, you know what we should do? We shouldn't, you know, playing the piano, singing songs, you know, teaching Sunday school, preaching. Here's what the ministry of every one of us should be. We get to church and we should say, what needs to be done? This morning we had nobody at the door, I think, greeting, did we? Nobody at the door. Man, someone should have saw that and said, you know what? I don't care if my name's spoken. I don't care if anybody likes my ideas. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to grab some of those pamphlets, and I'm going to shake every hand that comes into the door until Meddy gets you. Meddy, I think, was working or something. She was late. Meddy, you here? I saw her. There she is. Meddy was late today, and I saw her on Facebook. I saw it as a preaching. That's the bad thing with a smartphone. I wanted to message her back, but I couldn't figure out how to preach and message at the same time. You know, sometimes Meddy has to work, and she can't get here. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. You know what? Someone should have said, I'll stand in the gap for Meddy and stand at that door and greet everybody as they come in. We shouldn't care at what people think about what we're doing. We should just serve Jesus Christ. That's why when we see people that are in need, we should, like Case, I was very blessed this morning. No prior warning, no knowledge of information. I said, he needs help. The church the church budget helped him out of the benevolence fund, and then you guys gave in the envelope 162 pounds. I have no idea how much you personally gave to him. I didn't ask him. He's got enough money to help him get through until he gets paid. That's what the church should do. We shouldn't worry about, well, you spoke to me yet last week, but you didn't this week. I've got ADD. I don't even say hi to my wife sometimes. Don't even worry about Renee, because he's quiet. What's the point? James is saying, man, get over the fighting. Get to the serving. Get busy with just loving people and loving God. He talks about personal conflicts. You know how you deal with personal conflicts? Let me pick on somebody new, somebody different. Alan. You know what you do? Alan just, I don't know, he came in and messed up my microphone and made it all scratchy sounding. And I can't preach out of that crazy microphone. I get all mad at him. You know what the Bible says when you have personal conflicts with people? Christian, you ought not to have conflicts with people. We ought not to. But we're human nature, aren't we? So we do. You know why? It goes back to verses 1 through 3. a lot of times. Here's what you do. Look at verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11 of James. You have personal conflicts? Here's what you do. Verse 11. Speak not evil one of another. When people get mad at each other, what do we start doing? Someone tell me. Sorry? Oh, yakking. It's like, what English is she speaking? Well, I heard something else over here. Yakking? That's Southern Maryland for you. Calling names. What else do we do?
Retreat.
Retreat? Yeah. What else? That's what we do right there. We'll harbor bitterness. Do you know what? I imagine there's a bunch of empty pews because of that one thing right there, the harboring of bitterness. You know what James says? And when you have personal conflict with one another, don't speak evil one of another. What this word evil here refers to is don't talk against one another. Do you know what? If you get upset with another believer and you begin to talk, what the Bible says, talking evil about them or talking against them, saying stuff about them, putting them down, do you know what? Man, it makes it a whole lot harder to get things right. And when things get right, it's a whole lot harder to get all that stuff covered and forgotten and forgiven. You ever get into an argument with somebody and you say something because you felt it, but then later live to regret it? That's what James is talking about. See, it goes back to verses 1 through 3. If we just pray, it fixes a lot of things. And you know what? Sometimes people get hurt. I don't know how to put it, but sometimes people get hurt by accident. Because you know what? We're human flesh and we make mistakes, don't we? And Satan loves that kind of stuff. Sometimes we do it by accident. We still go back to this verse, don't speak evil one to another. If you get hurt in the church, don't go off and telling everybody else how bad you got hurt. Pray for them, and I'll tell you something else you should do in a moment. I'll tell you now. Go and talk. Go and talk. You know, as much as I work close with Renee, I'm going to mess up somewhere, Renee. Amen. Yeah. And when we do, the very first thing that we should do is pray for one another and then get on the phone because you live too stinking far away to come see you because I'm walking. And, you know, get it right. Do you know it's better to say you're sorry even if you're not sure that you did anything to hurt them than to let someone carry on and be hurt? Don't you think? I mean, those are the, S-O-R-R, those are the five letters we hate to put together and string side by side and say. And yet those are the things we need to say. I can tell you now, Inga Fleur a couple weeks ago sent me an email to print out tickets for this teen movie night. And I got the email, and I wrote her back, I got your email. Looks great. I'll print it. Then she emailed me a couple of days before she needed them to pass out. Or you called me or talked to, I don't remember, but you asked me somehow, right? And I said, I think something to the effect of, I didn't get the email, didn't I? And she looked at me, she goes, but you wrote me back, and you said you liked it. And I said, I did? I just didn't remember. So what I did, I went back in my computer, I searched, I found her email, I said I liked it, and I wrote her back, and I said, I am so sorry. I apologize. Will you forgive me? And she wrote back, not necessary. And at first I thought, okay, not a big deal. Do you see? Do you see what we need to do? We ought not to speak evil one to another. We ought not to go around when people hurt us and talk bad about them. Speaking evil is when we talk bad about them and we talk against them, against their actions, against their motives, against their manner of living. Man, we rip them apart. Few things are more common in the world. Nothing more is decidedly against the spirit of faith than this type of action. When we lie, when we gossip, when we slander, those are the things, that's the war that is so destructive. I guess what I'm saying is this. You know what? Don't fight. What was that? What was the saying during Vietnam? I can't say that. This should, I told you I wasn't a Christian before. You know, and it's to the effect of don't make war, make happiness. You know, make happiness. In the church, let's not fight, let's serve. Right? Let's not fight, let's serve. Let's come in next Sunday and say, man, what can I do to make this place a better place for people to come in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know what? I wouldn't be at all adverse for you to come to me and say, Pastor, what do you need help with? Goodness me. Do you know what? I would love to pass everything off and only preach this book. I'm thankful for Renee, who carries a lot of stuff for me. I'm thankful for Lynn and Alan, who run that crazy sound desk. Lisa said this afternoon for choir practice, can you turn this thing on? That's the extent of my knowledge. She looked at me, she said, don't you know how to run this sound desk? I said, no. I haven't got a clue. I know if you push up buttons, things get louder, but I don't even know what button. I couldn't barely find your microphone to push your voice up tonight. So I'm pushing everything else. And, you know, I don't do that kind of thing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Corey playing the piano. I'm thankful for you ladies working in the creche, because if you didn't work in the creche, we wouldn't be able to have the families that we have and then to put their babies, though. They ain't been putting their babies in there lately, and we'll sort that out, because there was a lot of crying today, wasn't there? Anybody here crying? There's a lot of crying, man. And so, but you know what? I'm glad for that. And that was only BJ's crying, you know? Do you see what I'm saying? Guys, let's get over it and get on with the bigger mission about telling people about Jesus Christ. What do you do when someone really does hurt you, though? How do we not speak evil of people when we're handling a negative situation with other brethren? Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 4:15. Does anybody know the scripture? You know the verse that says, speak the truth in love? Do you know the verse? Christian, sometimes there are times when people are doing wrong. Sometimes there are times when there is sin and things need to be dealt with. Sit up and listen to your mom. And sometimes there are things that need to be dealt with. And what do? You must go to the person and tell them the truth. But you do it in love. So what does it mean to do it in love? The actual Greek way of putting it is this. To speak the truth in love. It means this, truthing in love. That's what it means. Truthing in love. What does that mean? It means in our actions and in our words, in our demeanor, in our character, in everything about us, we must go about in truth. And when we talk to somebody, we don't come down hard on them. We don't come down vindictive on them. We don't come down demeaning them. We don't rip them apart, but we tell the truth and just do it in a spirit of truthfulness with compassion and caring to that believer. The goal is never to be right and push them out the door. The goal is to stand in truth and bring brothers and sisters back to that truth. And then to serve out from there. Amen? Amen? Hey, this is to keep fighting from going on in the church. And if the church is not unified, and if brothers and sisters don't like each other and are fighting and getting against one another, folk, we can't grow and progress in the ministry and serving Christ. Always, 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 always. To keep from conflict, our number one thing is we must pray. Love people. When conflict comes and things happen in the Christian life, listen to me, and I won't go much longer, and I'll quit with this. We need to always follow biblical principles. Do you understand? In the Christian life, we must always follow biblical principles in how to do things. One of the worst things I hate to hear is this. So what you doing? How you handling it? Well, I feel like I should do it this way. My question then is, what do you have biblical foundation for that action? Well, no, I don't really got a verse, but I feel like I should do it. Listen, feelings sometimes don't work, do they? Do they? Stephen's feelings aren't working well today. Stephen feeling like he wants to get sick at home. Can't go by feelings. How you feeling, buddy? As James brought me over there to pick up Zach. And how you feeling? Was about the extent of his comment. I said, how you feeling, son? How you feeling? I'm all right. Can you bring me some food home? Dude, I thought you're sick. Yeah, but I'm hungry. Well, how's your stomach feel? Bad. I don't know what to get. His feelings are all over the place right now. After I get sick to my stomach, do you know the first thing I want to eat? Whatever we had left over from dinner the night before. Don't I do that? She's saying to me, honey, you need to be brat. Bananas, rice, applesauce, toast, you know? Eat cool and sensible stuff. No, I want to dive right into it because I'm starting to feel better. So I jump in. I remember eating a bowl of chili, and that was a bad move. You see the point? You can't go by your feelings. You got to go by true, time-tested truth, biblical principles. Matthew 18. We got to deal with things in the church. You don't deal with things just because you feel that's the way it should be done. You deal with things because there's biblical principles. So here's the point. James says there's fighting in the church because of our trying to please ourselves, really, trying to satisfy our lusts. You want to stop that? Pray. Pray. Let's not fight. Let's have peace. And let's serve God. Amen? Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that you will help a broken people. And that's what we are. Lord, there's no one here better or higher or lower or anything. God, we're all broken vessels that have been mended by the Master. And we've been brought into the family of God. We all bring gifts and talents and things. And Lord, I pray that we can just love one another and serve you. Oh God, there's just too much at stake to be fighting. Lord, there's nothing good about war. And probably the one that gets hurt the worst is the one who's fighting. And Lord, I just pray we get along and love one another. Not compromise truth, not become liberal, but Lord, stand in that truth, truthing in love. And Father, I pray that you'll guide us this week. Lord, decisions that need to be made for next year, I pray that you would help Renee and I and others to pray about them and seek your face about these things. I pray, Lord, we don't make a decision based upon what we feel, but we make a decision based upon the Spirit of the Lord. And God, I pray you help us and guide us. I pray that you would just use us for your glory and honor this week. In Jesus' name, amen.